Episode number 349, Family Discipleship on Sunday and Beyond, with Ron Hunter. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, this week's episode of the podcast is brought to you by our 1230 Kids Grand Opening. This is our brand new kids ministry brand that we just launched. We have a full ready-made media library. We provide custom media and free and affordable training for your kids, pastors, and leaders. It's an entirely new brand. So we have 1230 Media, and now we have 1230 Kids. And we are doing a huge grand opening sale on our kids site at 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com. And I'll tell you more about that grand opening sale here in just a minute. On this episode of our show, I welcome Ron Hunter. Ron is the co-founder and director of the D6 Conference. He's also the CEO of Randall House and D6, which is a family ministry, a discipleship ministry that produces incredible content and curriculum for all ages. Ron and I will be talking about family discipleship on Sunday and beyond into your week, into your Wednesday night programming, and into your home. So Ron has some great insights on how to incorporate family discipleship into your sermons, how to craft worship experiences with families in mind, and more. Ron and the D6 team have become very fast friends of mine, and I know that you'll enjoy hearing from Ron today. So, great conversation with Dr. Ron Hunter coming up. Hey guys, Carl here. I want to tell you about something really exciting happening at 1230. For years, even since we've started as a ministry, we've produced custom graphics and video content for some of the biggest names in kids ministry. Folks like Awana, Answers in Genesis, Seeds Family Worship, Yancey, Doorpost Songs, Go Curriculum, Grow Kids, Worship Team Kids, and more. We felt like God was leading us to create an entire brand dedicated to kids pastors and leaders. You might have heard us talk about this the last couple of months as we've been soft launching this brand to build it. And now we are proud to announce the official grand opening of 1230 Kids. With 1230 Kids, we'll be serving children's pastors and leaders in three areas. One is ready-made kids media, then custom graphics and video, and training for your kids' worship experiences. In the ready-made library, we are loading it up with hundreds of mini-movies, countdowns, games, kids' series boxes, packs, social media content, and much, much more. It's extremely affordable. You can purchase kids' media a la carte or by subscription to save you money across your year. We are already a leading provider of custom graphics and video for curriculum and other content that you might be using. And if you need custom graphics and video that you need built from scratch, we are here for you. Also, with our training component, you'll hear from leading experts in the space and from real leaders in the trenches of kids ministry. Through our Kidmen blog, our new Kidmen Try podcast, hosted by Kidmen veteran Jason Noble, books, and more will help you plan, create, and execute your kids' worship experiences. We have a huge grand opening sale going on right now. We're letting the first 100 subscribers that use our code FIRST100 get our entire ready-made kids library for 50% off the normal price. Jump on it quick as it is filling up very fast. Just go to 1230kids.com/go. That's 1230kids.com/go. Sign up for our annual plan and enter the code FIRST100 at checkout to make our annual plan drop from $396 a year down to $198 a year. Also, this code will allow you to be grandfathered in at 50% off every single year you renew. So it's 50% off for life for you at 1230kids.com/go. Again, it's only the first 100 subscribers that use this code. Go to 1230kids.com/go, sign up for our annual plan, and enter the code FIRST100 at checkout. That's 1230kids.com/go. Hey guys, today I welcome Dr. Ron Hunter. Since 2002, Dr. Hunter has served as executive director and CEO of Randall House and D6 Family Ministry in Nashville, Tennessee. He's the author of 4 books, including Toy Box Leadership, Youth Ministry in the 21st Century, The DNA of D6, and Recalibrate. Ron, thanks so much for being here, man. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. It's a great time. You and I have crossed paths at previous conferences. Really enjoy that and look forward to interacting with your audience.
Yeah, I was going to say that the last few weeks we've gotten to get to know each other, grab some seafood together, and it's just been a joy getting to know you and your team.
Hey, I'm going to tell all the listeners, if you're looking for a seafood restaurant, Carl knows the place or places. Living over the coast, it's a beautiful thing.
I know. We found a really good one. I got a good tip in Charleston, where we were, South Carolina, and man, it was a neat little place. I had the shrimp and grits, and I would do that again.
I'll tell you what, the crab cakes are out of this world.
Yeah, man.
Best bite of the meal right there.
I know. We'll have to go back. Awesome. All right. So you've been in family ministry a long time. Get us started here. How did you get into it? What's your story?
You know, I suspect my story is somewhat similar to other people. I just happen to have one unique intersection out there in the midst of it. But I pastored for 11 years. And as I was pastoring, and this was in Florida, I pastored in North Florida and South Florida for the bulk of that. And while I was pastoring a really solid church, we were growing. Every metric that we were measuring was hitting all the markers. But, you know, here's the thing I've learned, Carl. Leaders are very self-critical. We, no matter how well things are going, we look and we spot the weakness, and that's what we're trying to work on. And this would have been for us about 1997, 98, 99, 2000, those years right in there. And if it's kind of like trying to imagine the iPhone not existing, I'm going to ask our audience to imagine that D6 doesn't exist. Not a lot of people were writing on the Pentateuch. I mean, that's not a popular topic. Deuteronomy 6 was considered boring and nobody discussed it. The earliest books on it weren't even really written there by Barna at that time, you know, and raising spiritual champions and so forth. And I, like most of the pastors, were seeing our teenagers developing, growing up, getting a driver's license and driving away from the church. Mm-hmm. And as a result, my heart was broken because Carl, you've probably seen this too. Parents will buy this clunker car for their kids, or maybe a nice car, you know, to get around while they're in high school. But then they'll tell them, hey, you've got to help pay for the gas or help pay for the insurance or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're getting a job. Their priorities are shifting. It's taking them away from church, their studies. We literally saw lifelong change of decisions because of, you know, the car. Now, I'm not blaming the car. Here's the deal. Our kids were beginning to check out in middle school, and they were asking hard questions their parents didn't have answers for. They were wrestling with questions about scripture and science and history and you know, is there a God and so forth. And our churches were not equipping them in those key areas. And as I watched our teenagers exit the church, you know, in typical proportion, you know, roughly half of all young people will leave the church, and maybe half of them will return at some point at a future date in their life. And I began to ask the hard questions, what can we do to fix that? And we began to rearrange how we did discipleship. And that opened the doors for smaller regional conferences. And then I left Florida and went to be on a larger church staff, and we experienced similar growth, but we implemented that discipleship philosophy, that generational discipleship philosophy, and saw winning markers. And as a result, somehow I got on people's radar for when the retiring CEO of Randall House was exiting, my name got turned in. And so I interviewed with the board and I presented kind of a big vision packet and says, hey, I'm really happy in the church I'm in, but if you want to bring me aboard, I'm probably going to dismantle, quote, Sunday school as you know it. And what did I mean by that? Well, in the past, people were given, they called them quarterlies way back then. They would be given a small book. You would read it and prep for Sunday. Then you would go and get that same exact material in a little more depth. You remember that, Carl?
I do. Sunday school quarterly. I remember.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, so we had Sunday school light to read to prepare. And then the church, the church teacher would go Sunday school deep, you know, and we're like, okay. And oftentimes that book would stay in the flap of our Bible in the car or on the pew in church reserving our space. And it's because we had no Bible engagement throughout the week. And so what we did was we dismantled that system and launched a Bible-aligned curriculum back in 2004, where every family member would be in the same biblical topic. That way, at church on Sunday, they would all learn the same theme. They, most of the times, they're in the same biblical passage, but they're always in the same theme. That created the opportunity, Carl, for conversations to take place in the home, because dad or mom could say, hey, you remember our lesson, you know, about Noah or, you know, David or Daniel, or we can talk about the doctrines in Paul's writings. You remember what Paul told us, you know, be kind. We're supposed to be kind to our friends. And so now mom and dad is using scripture to reinforce that. And so, you know, I pitched that proposal and lo and behold, the board hired us and we launched that curriculum. 4-5 years later, we launched the first D6 conference, and now it's international in 5, about to be 6 other countries. And kind of that's our story, is God's just kind of woven this thing together over the shared problems that all of our churches are facing, even to this day.
So D6, the curriculum started 2000, early 2000s, somewhere
around there? 2004, fall of 2004 is when the D6 curriculum started. It wasn't named that. What's interesting is our people started naming that, our customers. Hey, we want D6 curriculum. We had a D6 conference and they kept calling, then it was called CLEAR, which was an acronym that stood for Connect, Learn, Explore, Apply, and Respond. We called it CLEAR curriculum way back from 2004 to 2009. And we changed the name. It's kind of like, you know, your customers. I heard this story a long time ago. A college was built and the architect purposely did not pour sidewalks. And after the first school year, he went in and said, okay, now we can see where the students are walking. Now we know where to put the sidewalks. You know, we kind of poured some sidewalks ahead of time, then watched where our customers walked, and then we re-poured them where they were. And that's what we did. We've continued. We're in our third iteration of D6, and we constantly get feedback from our teachers, our pastors, and we have some incredible strategists behind this that's just kind of helped guiding this, and it's a wonderful experience. So 2004 was the launch.
So frame us here. So we're talking to this, this podcast is called Making Sunday Happen. So we're talking to pastors and those who execute the Sunday experience. So let's talk to pastors for a second and frame that within D6. So you guys are creating a curriculum, have been successful at it. That is moving us, has the same material for the Sunday school, the small group, the midweek, all of that with different age groups, right?
That's correct. Yeah, our intent is this, Carl. Our mission statement is helping you build believers through church and home. Think about that. Helping you, we're coming alongside the pastors, the leaders, the teachers, and we're helping them build believers. Now, catch that phrase. That's both evangelistic and, you know, growing in their discipleship walk with Jesus Christ. So building believers where? At church and at home. We believe it does start at church. That's the launching pad, the on-ramp, if you would. And when it gets started well on Sundays, and you equip and train parents how to utilize the tools you send them home with, that conversation that starts at church where everybody is aligned gets to go home and do it again throughout the week based on, you know, problems they bump into. You know, a kid comes home from school and says, hey, mom, I had this problem. Well, if they can relay back a teaching they had in the last 2 or 3 weeks as counsel, now they're getting biblical admonition, not opinion-based items.
Right.
And let's face it, you know, it's sad to say, if I were to ask most of our parishioners, what did they learn from the pastor's message 2 weeks ago? They may not remember. They remember it's a good sermon and it probably helped them. But when they're diving in daily on a biblically aligned study, and here's the deal, the church provides the teaching at life group, Sunday school, small group, whatever you're calling it, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It doesn't even have to be a Sunday, but we will align people whatever day you teach. And then they're given a devotional. Every member of the family has their own devotional magazine. And on Monday through Saturday, they're reinforcing what they learned on that Sunday lesson, wherever it is. And it's facilitated with discussion, strong application. It takes the Bible and makes it real to our lives. So our goal at D6 is to come alongside the churches and try not to make the Sunday experience the be-all, end-all, right, but the starting point for the week. And then they can go out and be Christ followers, making disciples throughout the week. And that's what we want to see happen here.
So bring us to the sermon in the worship experience, or my sermon series. How does that incorporate, let's incorporate family discipleship into that worship experience. Use it as a launching pad. How does D6 allow a pastor to do that?
Yeah. Now, we, as our philosophy would teach, and there are four basic family ministry models out there. The D6 philosophy is also called Faith at Home, but that's church and home. The other one is Milestones. Another one is Adoption, where an older spiritual teenager leans into a younger spiritual teenager, or an older aged person leans into a younger. It doesn't matter. That's the third one. So we're purposely leaning in and kind of mentoring, coaching, casually or intentionally. And then the fourth one is Integrated. Integrated is where we bring all ages into the same room for both teaching and worship. D6 is not integrated, but we believe in family aligned with age specific ministries. But there's a lot of people who use D6 in an integrated area. So let's talk about what Sunday morning looks like. Sunday morning should be about whatever the pastor and the worship is doing. Many of our pastors actually ask for our scope and sequence, which is our long-term plan of where we're going to be. And they either preach near or around that scope and sequence, or they actually pay attention to the lesson so they can incorporate a little bit of it into their message and make those connection points, which further promotes families to dive into those small groups, whether it's teen or children or whatever. When the pastor's leaning in, then we tend to respect what leadership inspects, and he's incorporating that into that message. The other part is to remind the families, hey, when you exit, when you leave here today, I want you to look for ways to have conversations, provide those tools, whether or not it's a take-home sheet, you know, discussion questions. We believe the devotionals are super important to continue that alignment Monday through Saturday. But then you need to ask the questions on Sunday, not as guilt, shame, or any right. other leverage you would want to use. But when the kids come back, you say, hey, let's find out, how many of you got a chance to dive into your devotional magazines this week? How many times? And if they say two, you applaud, you champion, you go, that's wonderful. You don't go, hey, what happened the other five? Right. No, that's not it. What we're trying to do is reinforce solid habits. And in fact, we have a tool that we give away. It's called Measure What Matters. It's used in church. And when parents drop their small kiddos off, say grades 3 and under, then this Measure What Matters chart's right outside the door of the classroom. And mom can write on there, okay, my son or daughter's present today. Colors in the head of this little stick figure. And then there's this Lego-looking chart that says, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So like six little Lego circles there. She or dad, mom or dad, gets to fill in a circle for each day their kid did their devotion that week. And that's a reminder from mom and dad to be encouraging them Monday through Saturday. Now we're getting the family accountability going. And then the other part that we ask in there is, did you have a faith talk? Did you share the sermon, the lesson, something about the Bible? Did you share Jesus with somebody just one time? You color in this little talk bubble above the little stick figure. Those three items, Bible engagement, sharing one's faith, and being able to do your devotions, showing up, being a part of the church. Those are the items that we have seen in research over the last decade and a half that makes one's faith sticky. It's kind of a popular term. And why not start reinforcing healthy development rather than waiting for our teenagers to exit the church and then triaging the spiritual mishaps along the way? Let's do preventative spiritual health care. That's what D6 is all about there.
Good. What are some of the stories that you've heard from that model? Obviously, we're moving, to beyond the worship experience into the week, and it's family discipleship now. Yeah. Give me some of the stories that you've heard over the last 15 years of families who've used this.
Yeah. We've heard from pastors that says their marriage counseling has gone down. When parents are connecting at this level, that was one of those that makes sense now, but we heard that year three and four, that, wow, their marriage counseling ministry had less activity in it because marriages were stronger. We've also heard from people going, man, I actually get to enjoy conversations around the dinner table or in the minivan now. They're using interruption questions like, hey, before you put in your earbuds, when they get into that car, and they want to catch up on the day, just kind of bantering back that conversation. How was your day? What made you mad? What made you glad? What made you sad? And depending on how they answered it, then they can relay back a faith talk. But we strongly encourage, not every talk with your kiddo needs to be a spiritual talk or a sermon. Just connect to your, and I think, Carl, this is one of the biggest weaknesses that's causing us to lose our kiddos, is we're losing relationship. Parents know how to connect to their preschoolers. They know how to connect to their early childhood, early grade school kids. But when they hit middle school and hormones kick in, peer pressure, that independence is starting to develop, parents oftentimes don't know how to connect to the heart of their child. And if they will do it around scripture, around devotion, and be sincerely interested, it will actually recreate that relationship that is eroded. But if you can do it from the beginning, you can save your teenager a lot of pain, as well as you a lot of sleepless nights worrying about them.
So in your book, The DNA of D6, you talk about the concept of the senior pastor complex.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Here's the thing. We launched D6 curriculum. We launched the conference in 2009. And in 2009, I've been the director of the conference the entire time. And so people would come to me in the hallway or in the aisles of the main area. And I kid you not, I can still visualize two or three children's pastors, mainly is what we heard from it that day. They would come. I remember one lady had tears just streaming out of her eyes. And she says, Ron, we've got our whole team here at D6. It is blessing us. We're working it back in our church. We're implementing these principles, but we can't get our senior pastor on board. We can't get them to buy into this. And she was just weeping. And they felt like their hands were tied behind their back because their senior pastor wasn't casting that vision, leaning into the conversation in staff meeting and being a part of that solution that we know is faced with so many problems and it would solve so many problems in the church. And she says, what do we do? Well, I didn't want to answer quickly. And I wound up getting invited to one of these churches. And I sat in on their staff meeting and got to interact and just doing some probing, just getting to know them. And it was in the very first 15, 20 minutes that pastor says, Ron, I'm going to tell you something in front of our staff. And he paused and he broke down, absolutely weeping out loud. He says, I've got three kids. And he says, my middle one is out in sin, is away from church, is in a lifestyle that nobody approves of. He says, I don't think I can lean into family ministry and anybody take me serious. And I realized that that Satan has created the senior pastor complex where if they say anything about family ministry and all their kids aren't doing what's right, they either feel disqualified or hypocritical. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. I think Satan has pulled the wool over our eyes in that, you know, pastors have to know so many things. They do have to be a counselor. They do have to run the finances sometimes. I mean, look at how many hats, and we cannot be experts in all of them, but we cannot ignore them. So why have we ignored this family area? And so the senior pastor complex is about two areas. One, helping the pastor re-engage in the family and generational discipleship conversation. And two, it's about addressing prodigals in the church. What do we do about them? If 50% of our kids are walking away, that means that half of every adult, half of the adults in your entire church is silently weeping and mourning over a child that's walked away. Mm-hmm. What are we doing to minister to them, provide prayer time, re-engagement of those hearts of those prodigals? And D6 provides some ways to do that.
Finish that story. What was your encouragement to the, to the pastor?
So what we determined was this. We started telling that story anonymously like we did. And once they hear they're not alone, they're like, oh, I get it. And when their staff can rally around and go, Pastor, you're not alone. And when we realize that the Barna research shows that there are about 7 or 8 major contributing reasons why kids of pastors walk away from their faith. Many times it's from dating an unbeliever. It's from being involved or connected to a professor or a teacher in school that questions their faith and they don't have answers for. Mm-hmm. It can be a number of other things. Only one of those are the parents. But yet when it happens, parents feel like they're 100% responsible when that may not be the case. Mm-hmm. Did we contribute? Yeah. Can we contribute to trying to prevent that from happening? Yes. But can we control any of this? No, we cannot. And so it's freeing whenever you can share. And that's what DNA of D6 does, is it really helps that pastor be a little bit free from 100% of that guilt and shame that they're feeling being in that. And then here's what we did, and we've done it to this day, Carl. If your pastor wants to come to the D6 conference, they get to come free as long as one other person is paid to come. And it's called, there's a code you enter. It's always been the same, bring my boss. And, you know, when you register and you put in bring my boss, you get a free and they get to come along. And what happened was we went from having like single digit, like low single digit lead pastor attendance to about year 5 and 6 to it being the third most attended percentage of our conference, because pastors realize, you know what, they can't sit this one out.
Yeah, good. All right, let's come back to the worship experience. I want to ask you a couple of things about that and how this relates to the worship experience. So what are some things that we can do differently on the weekend to attract more families, especially to come to our churches?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think your church should have a reputation for equipping families. Let them know that their dynamics are super important. And when you're giving away good tools and when you are known that you're to help families, not always take from families, that speaks volumes. So you're making a difference. Why not give families a chance to do the engagement activities? Like, let's say you're going to do a service project in the community. Oftentimes, teen groups go out and do that service project. Why not do it as a family? Then when the Holy Spirit moves, the family can experience it together, debrief it together. You know, the other part is, I do think, well, D6 is not a integrated model where we say, hey, youth pastors aren't important, children's pastors, middle school pastors are not important. We think they're all important, but we do think that we're siloed too often. Mm-hmm. How are ways we can, on Sundays, get other ages interacting with other ages? Whether or not it's bringing, you know, an older person into the teen group and sharing their testimony, telling their story. And when they tell their story, they're connected. When you can have some of the adults start, you know, driving vans for, you know, experiences the teens are going on, but don't just be that driver. Teach those adults how to interact with the kids while they're at that activity and use this question. How can I pray for you this week? If you get adults asking teens or children that question, it really reaches the heart of those kiddos. And they're going, hey, they're actually interested in me. But that's a culture shift. Mm-hmm. We've got to teach people to stop going, yeah, their music is different than mine. I don't like them. They dress different. Can't believe they're wearing those jeans with holes in it.
Those, you know, millennials.
We're judging all the wrong issues here. And what we've got to do is go, hey, what really matters here? Yeah. And when we start praying for one another, those holy jeans don't become an issue anymore.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the other issues just kind of go away. And so our Sunday morning experience, if we had a play area, I remember Christina Embry wrote a blog on this. If we had a play area in the back of our church where moms who brought, you know, little ones could play. Yeah. Is it distracting? Yeah, it's okay. But there, I know a lot of parents that when they have little toddlers, they remove themselves from church for the first 6 months because they're fearful. Two things. Number one, they don't want to give their kiddo over to a nursery, especially if it's their first child. And second, they don't want to be disruptive. And sometimes that 6 months turns into a little bit longer habit than that. We've got to make our Sunday morning a place that it's where families want to be there. But let me flip the coin here, Carl.
Yeah.
Our number one complaint that we hear, and it's not true, is, yeah, but, you know, like you said, not everybody's a perfect family. We got divorced families. We got kids coming to our church that don't even have families. What can we do on Sunday mornings to make that a healthy family experience? Dr. Timothy Paul Jones, in the book that you mentioned earlier, that it's got my name on it, but I was editor and a writer of one chapter, but there's 15 wonderful chapters in there. And Dr. Jones writes one on what happens when your kids come to church, but their parents don't. And here's what you got to do on Sunday morning. The teachers who are ministering to those kiddos, regardless of the age, teenagers, middle school, you know, early grade school, what you want to do is get a connection point to that parent of that kiddo, whether it's an email, a telephone number, you know, drop by and visit. But here's what you're wanting to do. You want to early on, after that kiddo shows up, and if you haven't done this, just show up now. It doesn't matter. But go to them. Text them, email them, show up and say, hey, we want to thank you for trusting our church with your kiddo. Again, you've heard this as a theme. Don't use shame. Don't use guilt. Don't ask them why they're using you for a babysitting service or, you know, not being interested in spiritual things. You're like, you thank them and say, you know what? We take seriously the time that we have with your son or daughter. And if I were in your shoes, I would want to know what we're doing with your kiddos.
Right.
What are we teaching them? And you want to send them home maybe a copy of a lesson or an outline or maybe just the theme takeaway. And you say, listen, if I can, I'm just going to text this to you once a week or email it to you. And then once a month, I may just drop in and check on you and see how you're doing. And the second time you see them, interact with them, and you're already reinforcing confidence for what their child's learning. You say, you know what? We got some praying people at our church. How can we pray for you? Same thing, like we're leaning into the kiddos. Now we lean into that parent and they're like, man, can you pray for my aunt? She was just diagnosed with cervical cancer or whatever. You make a note, you really pray, you share that. And then next time you interact with her, you ask how that aunt's doing. You comfort if the situation goes a different direction, you rejoice if it goes in a healing direction, but you've got to get involved in that family. And then when there's a Easter service, a special service going on, you reach out to them, say, hey, your kiddo is going to be singing in, you know, this choir for Easter, or we're going to be doing something special. We'd love for you to be our guest. They may come, they may not, but they're going to know they're being loved on as a result of how you equip your leaders on Sunday.
Can we craft our worship experiences? Let's take the, from a planning standpoint.
Yeah.
Can we plan or craft our experiences better to reach families?
I think we can. You know, we send out something every Thursday called Top Reads for Busy Leaders, and it's a free email that aggregates about 12 articles ministry leaders should be aware of. If you're not on that list, you can get on it. But I read an article that came through about 3 weeks ago that said the attention span of young adults, millennials and down, is about 8.25 seconds. If that is the case,
what was that? I wasn't
8.25 seconds. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I gotcha. It's and so on Sunday mornings, we need to think about that. Every time we transition, what's going to be the first part that's going to keep them going? Now, this is not meant to be a seeker principled area. We know seeker doesn't work, but I don't think it's anything wrong with setting your sermon up with that attention getting, let's move into it with a story or a question, give them that takeaway, and then walk them through the answer of what the Bible can do. And you dive deep into scripture, but we've got to structure that Sunday morning as a way to bring people together. And if you're going to involve other ages, don't make it an adult service that other people just get to attend, fit in, and watch. One of the areas that I think further divides teens from adults is the teen worship experience. They have their set of songs, and the adults have their set of songs. And that becomes the divide that keeps a lot of teenagers from wanting to re-enter into adult church. So what can we do with that Sunday morning experience? Number one, a student pastor could actually incorporate some of the adult songs in their teen service. Mm-hmm. And I know the adults are out there applauding, going, yeah, finally, finally. Let me flip it around. Adults, you need to be incorporating some of the songs that the teens love in your service. So when they come in, it feels familiar and they feel like the worship service is also for them, not just for the old people in the church. So we've got to structure our services to be generational, you know, lean into in the sermon and in the worship time into the smallest age in that room. If you regularly have kiddos in there or teenagers or whatever age group, lean into that group. Don't just make it an adult worship experience. And then always, always give them takeaways. Hey, here's what you can do when we walk away. It isn't over at the amen. That's the big thing.
Do we underestimate the depth in which we can go in scripture with younger age groups, teenagers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, the reason why we're losing our kiddos is because we don't have them with good Bible literacy. They don't have a biblical worldview. They're searching for truth with a capital T. And let's face it, our whole world is mixed up with so many areas on gender identity, faith deconstruction. You know, they're being tackled on so many levels. Even millennials, the research has shown for the last 15 years, they've always craved a deeper sermon, a deeper study. They don't need all the bells and whistles. They don't need seeker friendly. We need to always dive in deep into rich scripture and never, never assume that our kiddos cannot handle some of the more difficult areas. Now, obviously, we don't need David and Bathsheba for a first grader.
Right.
But we can still teach the importance of mom and dad for that first grader from a family theme, while mom and dad might be needing to study David and Bathsheba on an appropriate cultural level for today. So yes, kiddos can handle it and they can grasp it. In fact, they will retain it far more than the adults do, as well as the millennials and Gen Z and the emerging generations coming on right now.
So you've talked about this some, but what are some tools that either you guys provide or that you can recommend of coming outside of the worship experience into the week? Obviously, we can use some of your material, but what maybe give us a practical, like, hey, here's the first thing that we provide that you should be using when you walk away on Sunday.
You know, I know everybody's sitting there going, hey, he's wanting to sell something. Let me tell you about a couple of free things that we have in there. Number one, we offer a D6 family app. You can download it, whether Android or Apple. And on there, we have some blog posts that help coach you as a parent and as a ministry leader. So you can get some great parenting insights on the D6 family app. Here's one of my favorite items about the D6 family app. You can be sitting at the restaurant like we were, Carl. And we didn't do this, but like we were sitting around the other day, let's pretend our families were there. Well, you whip out the phone and you pull out the question, and we have hundreds of questions in there that are just thought-provoking, fun questions, and it gets them talking. That's all we got to do is get that conversation started, and it will bump into just this way to connect to your kiddo's heart. And so we use that app when we're in the grocery store line or in the car riding. You know, maybe you want to make a, you know, hey, less than 10 minutes in the car. We don't do technology. The first 10 minutes, we don't do technology. We just do conversation. Hand your kiddo the phone and open up that app and do the questions. You can sign up for a second item that's free. It's called Splink. That's a made up word for spiritual link to your kiddo's heart. And it sends out three activities, ideas, discussion starters, crafts, recipe that you can do with your kid. And it usually comes out on Tuesday, absolutely free. It does tie back into our curriculum and reinforces what they've learned. But if you're not using our curriculum, you'd never know it tied back in and you find three fun things to do. We have the devotionals. This is kind of a big deal. One of the stories I debated sharing earlier when you said share some wins we've seen during pandemic, that was the best time for Deuteronomy 6 we've ever seen in our world's history, because during the lockdown and when people, you know, and we can agree or disagree with whatever went on politically, but the truth was we all kept to ourselves. We stayed in our homes more than we ever did. That's Deuteronomy 6 playing out as an opportunity, which says ultimately, parents, from the time your kiddo gets up in the morning till you tuck them in bed at night, look for ways to connect to their heart. When they get up, when we drive by the way, when we eat a meal, when we tuck them in bed at night, that was a perfect opportunity when we could not assemble for worship. And the churches that were doing D6 and generational discipleship emerged from that pandemic so much more healthy. So we had a church up in Michigan took and said, hey, we want to change up how we're doing the devotional magazines. We want you to send them. We were doing what we called at-home bundles that we would mail to the families, and it would be a devotion for every age group, and we'd mail it to the home. He says, we want to change it up. We want, and we will pay the postage, we will mail it to the youngest kiddo in the family, within reason. So a kid who's, say, 5 years old with two older siblings and mom and dad, they get an envelope addressed to them, a big envelope, and they're excited, and they get to open it up and say, hey, mom, here's your devotion. Hey, dad, here's your devotion. Hey, Ethan, here's your devotion. Hey, Lauren, here's your devotion. And that youngest is handing them out, feeling like king of the world. Mom and dad, don't you think they want to do those devotions? Because now, you know, the little one's so excited about it.
Yeah, it's great.
And when they do it, they're, again, aligned with their readings and with their conversations. And we have those set up questions in that adult devotion so that they can interact with their kiddos throughout the week. We have books filled with family fun questions, just like the app. We're releasing an Easter experience. I don't know when this drops, but at Easter and around Christmas, for Christmas Advent and Easter, we have an Easter adventure where we take that into the home and let mom and dad interact around what really matters around Easter and around Christmas, or Christmas, the scripture and questions and fun games and activities. When the University of, I believe it was Michigan, looked back and asked kiddos, what was their favorite experiences coming up through the home? They didn't say vacation. They didn't say, hey, it was when we did so-and-so. They said it was dinner time conversation. Mm-hmm. We need to revolutionize that time around our tables by asking those questions, doing those kinds of activities. And the Sunday morning experience will determine whether or not that dinner time is a win or a fail, because that's where it starts, is at that Sunday morning experience.
Good. I love your heart, man. All right.
Thanks,
so a couple questions, and then I'm going to play a game with you.
Okay.
All right. So you guys wrote a blog post on tips for getting ready for Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
Like families, you know, getting ready to go to church. What are a couple of those?
Oh, yeah. You know, here's the deal. You want to set people up before they're going so that they want to lean in and volunteer. You know, hey, when we're heading to church, what can we do? Can we smile at people? Can we look for ways to sign up and be a greeter or sit in on a class? But we also need to understand that Sunday morning is chaotic. What can we do Saturday to make Sunday go well? Because I'm convinced while we're sleeping, Satan comes in and hides one of the two shoes that the child's supposed to wear. Mm. So one of the items, lay out your clothes for Sunday morning. That may sound overly simplistic.
No,
you know, set your alarm for 10 minutes earlier before you got to get out of there. Maybe make Sunday morning, hey, we're going to grab donuts on the way. If your church doesn't do refreshments, make it a big deal that you're doing something on the way to church, and then make a fun routine Sunday after church or Sunday night in there. You know, is today church day versus are we going to church day? You know, you want to set it up as this is the culture. Hey, I can't wait. We shouldn't have the attitudes, oh man, another sermon, another Sunday. Kids catch our attitudes. So we got to go into that, leaning into it with a wonderful and positive area.
Good, good. Any Bible reading habit tips beyond Sunday?
Yeah, you know, again, I'm going to come back to number one. I would recommend, even if your church is using a different curriculum, consider using our devotional magazines that aligns your family. It will allow the reading habits of your kids to all be the same as yours. in that same theme. And you go, well, my kids are grown. Buy the magazines, send it to them. Now it gives you one more layer of conversation for your adult kids or your college age kids. Even when your son is going over to the other parent after, you know, when you're in a divorce situation, they can take their devotional magazine with them. Other areas that I would say for reading, you know, there's always this, hey, let's read the Bible through in a year. If you like doing that, I know this sounds like such elementary areas, but consider reading it chronologically when you read it. It makes a lot more sense. And you can download that plan free of charge anywhere. We also print that plan in our devotional magazines and help you check off those days if you want to do that in addition to our reading. The other item is don't feel pushed. Sometimes in a read through the Bible in a year, you're going, man, I feel behind, or, you know, again, you feel like I'm just going to give up. It's the same thing with weight loss. You know, by the time February rolls around, we think I'm a big failure. Why even try? Here's the deal. Just lean into a portion of scripture. Maybe spend a whole month in one book. And I love Paul's writings in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I love the book of James. If you spend a month in any one of those, even though they only have 3, 4, 5 chapters, you would just immensely see it by repeating it over and over. Don't just read it one time. Reread it. Focus on a verse. Diagram a verse. Maybe read about a character. Do a search on Google, and maybe you're going to study, you know, every place that King David appears or every place Daniel appears. And you just want to read and study a character, or Esther, you know, just examine that character and then model that character before your kiddos. When you're reading that, don't just make it for self-edification. Bring that up in your Bible reading and say, hey, you're saying this to your son or daughter. Hey, you know, last night I was reading so-and-so. I want to tell you what God was saying to me. Notice the difference here, Carl. I didn't say, hey, I was reading my Bible last night. Let me tell you about your dating problems. No, not guilt, shame. They need to see that you are listening to God. So whatever your Bible reading is, it needs to be a point of conversation with your kiddos. Not every day, but occasionally. They need to know mom and dad's interacting with scripture. And if you read in a quiet place, oftentimes people read in their car when they get to work, or they'll get up really early at, you know, the breakfast nook before the kiddos get up. One of the questions I would say is, do your kids even know you're reading the Bible if you're not talking about it? Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about it, you're good. If you're not, consider moving that time occasionally to where they know you're reading it. Not to show off, that's not what it is, but they need to know dad's opening up the Bible, because dads typically aren't readers, but they need to know dad loves God's word. That's part of Deuteronomy 6, you know, love the Lord your God, love his word, teach your kids to do the same.
Give us your website where we can get some of this stuff.
Yeah, d6family.com has everything. There's a connection to our D6 conference. There's a connection to a ton of D6 family books that can help you, whether it's parenting or whether or not you're a ministry leader in a certain age-specific ministry. You can sign up for Top Reads there. You can sign up for Splink there. Both of those are free. You can see where the links are to the app. There is so much information. And we also have our blog. Go check out the blog. And then we have the D6 podcast, Carl. We have a podcast as well. We're interviewing thought leaders on family and parenting, where you're focusing on the Sunday morning experience. We're focusing on church and home. And what does that look like?
Yeah, great, man. Well, thank you for that insight. Can I play a game with you before we leave?
Yeah, don't expect me to do well. I'm not sure how this is going to go.
All right, here we go. All right, okay. So this is going to be 5 random rapid-fire trivia questions.
Okay.
Ready? All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
Number one, what is your biggest pet peeve that you see in family ministry?
Oh, man. Biggest pet peeve comes from pastors who think they're doing equipping of the home, but they're not. They really think they're emphasizing it, but they're really not. They're focusing on programs, not on philosophy and principles.
Good. All right. What's a secret talent that you have that nobody knows about?
I don't think I have talent, secret talent. You know, the one that I think blows people away a little bit is I do woodworking, amateur woodworking, and I've built some pretty neat things. And that comes from my dad. My dad's my hero. He could build or fix anything. And I think I've just inherited some of those skills from him.
Very cool. All right, you wrote a book called Toy Box Leadership. What is your favorite toy as a kid that you incorporated into that book?
Hands down, Little Green Army Men. It's about planning and the success, and planning is all in the setup. You know, when you pour out the Little Green Army Men, you divide them by categories, you spend, as a kid, even at age 5, 6, 7, you'll spend 10 minutes setting up that battle, but it's over in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And in ministry,
you get the BB gun.
Life, that's right, you do. Anything you want to do. But in ministry and life, spend more time planning and setting it up than you do executing, and it'll go much better.
Good. Who's someone from history that you'd love to meet and spend time with?
Oh, man. There's so many. Oh, man. Wilberforce.
Mm.
You know, he felt like a failure for so long, even though he's accomplished so many things. And I think most leaders go through that. You're like, man, are we really moving the needle? You know, Martin Luther King, you know, he spent 13 years on that spotlight. In the last 3 years, he battled anxiety and depression because he didn't feel like he was moving the needle. You know, we're out here championing family ministry and we're seeing results. But again, we tend to look and go, man, not as many people are getting it as we'd like to, even though we're seeing significant movement in churches and families. So I'd love to meet any leader who accomplished something big just to hear their encouragement to stay that course and what insights they did along the way.
And I think you bring up a good point that no matter who it is in history or no matter where God has us, there's still insecurity there.
Yeah,
there's still like, I feel like a failure. You know, I mean, you mentioned Martin Luther King. I mean, you know, just incredible, where anybody else would look at it and go, what you've accomplished is incredible.
Yes.
But, you know, our own inner workings is like, I don't.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln battled anxiety and depression. You know, we there's so many of the leaders that we hold in such high regard. And you know, in my adult life, I've studied two things in depth, leadership and discipleship. And they're two siblings in the same family. You know, as in the world of discipleship, you're trying to make disciple makers to love and follow Christ so that we can, you know, influence for the kingdom, but solve the problems in our life. Leadership's the same thing. We help a community of people adapt a new direction to solve the problems we're bumping into. It's the same exact set of principles merged together.
Yeah, good. All right, last question for you. What is one thing that if churches would focus on, it would catapult their family discipleship in their church?
And if we could get them one thing, Bible engagement, I would say one thing, but it's got to be Bible engagement, sharing our faith, and volunteering in church. Those would be the three, and okay, four. An adult, warm, loving adult needs to be involved in a younger person's life. Those are the four things. If you incorporate those principles into your kiddos' lives, it will make all the difference in the world.
Awesome. Well, man, thank you for the time today. Really appreciate this insight. I can't wait to dive into more of your books and material at D6, and encourage everybody to check out d6family.com. Ron, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Carl. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, guys. Grant Murphy here from the 1230 team. This week, we want to give you an amazing coupon code for you to try our series in a boxes from our ready-made media library for 50% off. I want you to go to seriesinabox.com. You can choose any box from our growing library. At checkout, use the code MSHBOX50, MSH as in making Sunday happen. MSHBOX50 at seriesinabox.com. That code will take any box down from $59 to $24.50. 50% off any box using code MSHBOX50 at checkout at seriesinabox.com.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Hey guys, you can follow us online at 1230 Media. We're on all the social media channels, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well and to our podcast feeds so that you never miss an episode of the show. Next week, our podcast is a milestone episode for us, 350 episodes. Incredible. We've been at it since 2015. Coming at you every single week for 7 straight years. It's hard to believe. We got some bonus episodes sprinkled in there every now and then throughout those 7 years. So over 350 episodes in the library now. And we will celebrate show 350 by welcoming former Elevation Church worship leader Wade Joy to the podcast. Wade is a singer-songwriter. He's a worship leader and pastor. He's an incredible leader and teacher. He's a Star Wars geek, so we'll talk about that some too. And that is all next week on the show. You're going to love it. Wade is an incredible guy. You're going to love hearing from Wade all about worship leading and how to be a successful worship leader, how to incorporate different tips and tricks into your worship experience and more. Well, go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week. Big 350. Let's do it.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.